The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast away, good afternoon. 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in Line with you through till 1. 29 new cases of COVID were detected yesterday. We now have 330 active cases on the Isle of Man. 5 people are in Nobles Hospital. Nobody in ICU. 297 people waiting for the result of a test today. And there are 50 people, a minimum of 50 people, booked in for a test today. From the vaccination dashboard, the figures go like this. So far, 65,476 people have had a first dose administered. 64,002 people have had a second dose administered. That means 98% of the people have had two doses, a double jab. Just nine people booked in for the next 7 days. No doubt there'll be plenty more getting it, because this weekend it's open for 12 to 15-year-olds, and Department of Health and Social Care holding 24,114 shots of vaccine in stock. So lots to talk about. Also, if you want to pass comment on that story about house prices going up £1,000 a week, £52,000 a year, the situation we're in at the moment. Any thoughts on that? We're not alone. House prices are shooting up here, there and everywhere. But it brings it close to home, doesn't it? Any thoughts on that? Text, email or call. But first of all, I just want to bring on the subject to the Chief Minister, and who's going to be our next Chief Minister. And the man with the plan, the man with all the news, is John Moss. Got a special show on Sunday, John.
We have between 12 and 1. We'll have the candidates in. Well, the candidates we know of at the moment, two have been proposed so far. There are three stages to this, by the way. There's a proposal, which has happened now. Dr. Allenson has been proposed by Dr. Michelle Hayward, and Alf Cannon has been proposed by Mrs. Barber. So there's the proposal. Then the House of Keys nominates, and that's going to happen in a few days' time, and then the governor appoints. So there's three stages in that process. I suppose if you look at the remnants of the old council of ministers, there's only Messrs. Cannon, Ashford and Allenson available. David Ashford has said repeatedly he's not standing for chief minister, and so has one of the leading candidates who have just come in, Jane Poole Wilson. She said she's not standing either.
Well, her name kept being bandied around by everybody.
Well, we don't know until 5 p.m. today, in which the proposals will be received. It has to be 5 p.m. Then after that, the full field will become available to us. At the moment, we think there's only two horses running.
And the next stage after that, when's the actual day of reckoning?
Well, the House of Keys are sitting for the purpose of nominating the Chief Minister on Tuesday. Well, they have here the 12th of September. They mean the 12th of October, obviously. So that's just in a few days' time. Then after that, after the Chief Minister has been selected, they will have to select a comment. They will have to select their cabinet. Presumably, they have a rough idea in their minds, but they would have to go to the members, I suppose, and say, are you happy to accept this role, etc.?
So
that could take some time.
So just take me through then. From nomination to the person who is elected, what's the process? What happens?
As far as the person who's concerned, they have to put a statement out, a written statement, saying these are the policies, if appointed, that I intend to pursue. And they have to hand those into the Secretary of the House of Keys by Thursday, the 7th of September. That will be issued to the press, etc., and obviously the members of the House of Keys, and they will have that as ammunition when they sit down on Tuesday, the 12th of October, to decide which of the candidates they will go for.
And what is the voting process?
13 now.
Is it hands in the air?
No, it'll be electronic, I would imagine. You're asking me a question, I don't know the answer. It may be written. It should be electronic, because it's moving to electronic.
Right.
But whatever happens, they need 13, at least 13 votes. It used to be 16. It was brought down during this administration by Daphne Kane, who put a motion in and said a straight majority will do as opposed to two-thirds. So 13 votes are required or more of course.
Has it been straightforward in the past?
Well, looking back at the number of chief ministers, we've had actually, well, I suppose if you're being pedantic, eight. There are six names, but two of them came back. Well, Donald Gelling came back from MLC after the departure of Richard Corkill. And at the same time, Alan Bell was a caretaker chairman of the Council of Ministers for about 5 minutes in between that process. In the past, looking at the people who have been, Miles Walker the First for 10 years, Donald Gelling for 5 years, and then he came back again as chief minister in 2004. Of course, in his first term of office, he had some pretty tough nuts to chew at. He had the BSE TT, the foot and mouth TT, yeah, to announce the cancellation of, and the Solway Harvester. So he had some pretty grim things. Miles Walker, unemployment was 2,500, yes, when he took office. So obviously that was important. Tourism industry had slumped, but financial sector companies came to the rescue. And through that period, they actually came up to about 27% of the economy was due to the finance sector. It was growing and growing. And that was the thing that was helping the economy float and survive.
Anybody who was in politics at that time will point to the fact that there was something like a five-year period when millennium year, 1979, there was an enormous influx of tourism. And then tourism just fell off the cliff. It had been going downhill. Well, I mean, it had been going downhill since the end of the First World War, but very slowly.
Well, it's interesting because the biggest number they ever had was 680,000 before the First World War, and then that was virtually the same figure in millennium year. So with a tremendous effort, they actually managed to equal that. But after that, of course, figures slumped off.
And they will always point out the fact that in the early 1980s, people were just leaving the Isle of Man. I mean, that had happened at the end of the 1950s. The population went way down. And then people were just leaving because they almost seemed like there's no hope. And I think lots of governments, subsequent governments and administrations, they've always said they've been managing growth. Because we've had non-stop growth since that was the key word.
They always said, we are growing. Over decades, we are growing. If you look at the other chief ministers who took office, Tony Brown had the Icelandic bank crisis, yes, to contend with. He left in 2011, then Alan Bell came in, and the focus was on the offshores. And then again, we were having problems with our image as far as it was across. Howard Quayle, I don't have to mention what his big problem was, etc., in his 5 years was COVID, obviously. So most of these six different names as chief minister during their time had various specific problems to deal with.
And of course, we can't go on without mentioning that Richard Corkill had his own specific problems, which obviously led to his demise.
Well, it was over grants paid for their holiday cottage business. And basically, Richard Corkill said that to safeguard the integrity of the office of chief minister, he would step down. So he stepped away from it. He hadn't actually been taken to court, and there wasn't a court case, but he said to protect the office from the indignity of that, yes, process, he would step away. And that's when Donald Gelling came back. He'd been elected to the Legislative Council.
And I think
they looked around and said, we need someone. Donald, please.
In came Donald. I'm trying to think. I think there's even still now one member in Tynwald who was in the Richard Corkill administration.
You have to tell me which one that was.
Bill Henderson.
Bill Henderson, of course.
Yeah, Henderson was...
He is known as the grandfather of the House, I'm told.
Agriculture, fisheries and forestry, he was.
So he's the one whose memory goes back to those days.
Who's your money on, John?
Well... Being disinterested as a journalist, obviously I'm interested in everything that goes on. But one has to say that Alf Cannon is probably leading at the moment in most people's opinion. It is seen that he is probably the one who will take this, but we don't know. We don't know which way the House, yes, of Keys will swing
and
sway.
And we will never know what... So presumably there'll be lobbying going on.
Yeah, and also the question of should the Chief Minister be popularly elected will come up as well. This was Alan Bell when he came in, 27 votes. Peter Caron, 3 votes. Now, there could be an argument that if Peter Caron and Alan Bell had stood in a popular election for Chief Minister, Peter Caron, who is so popular with the masses, could well have been elected Chief Minister. As it was, when he came in front of the House of Keys, it was 27 to Alan Bell and 3 to Peter Caron.
Assuming then that there will be, let's just say for the moment, there are two people who have been nominated, Dr. Allenson and Mr. Cannon. What sort of questions will you be asking on Sunday?
Well, I suppose one of the questions is the role of the Chief Minister. Taking a football analogy, is a chief minister a manager of a team or captain on the field or a bit of both, etc.?
Player manager.
Player manager is probably the best way to describe it. Remember that Howard Quayle said at the start of his tenure, my door is always open. Is that the right way to actually control and keep your government going, your administration going? Remember that he took a risk when he brought in Alf Cannon from the backbenchers, a very vociferous backbencher, and also Kate Beecroft into his government. Kate Beecroft fell away after a while, but Alf Cannon has been there throughout and is now, well, he was, probably the linchpin of the Quayle administration, being Treasury Minister.
And what lessons do you think we're going to learn from the fact that now there's going to be no extra money for becoming a minister or a member of a department? Now that's been flattened out.
How do you persuade people that to put in the extra hours, the extra work, they have to want to do it? They have to want to be politicians and want to be parts of department.
Well, they've all talked about public service.
This is now they're going to have to prove. And if they step away and say, I'm not going into department, is it Stu Peters who said that he would rather stay to the sidelines and fight for the common man? But if they do that, they could be accused, basically, of accepting the cash, but not the responsibility.
It was often altruistic of people to say, well, I'm going to sit on the back benches, I'll be at the side, I'll be on the sidelines. And obviously they wouldn't have got any extra money for it, yeah, because ministers and members of the department did. Now that's no longer the case.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, as is the first tin rule that we get when they're going to have to vote on this gas issue. Because basically, the company says, we need the extra money from the people to survive. Tynwald has to say yay or nay. And basically, they're going to be asked to dig a lot deeper into people's pockets who are taking gas, etc.
So
right at the beginning of the administration.
The implication is they could either vote for people not to have higher gas bills or put Manx Gas out of business.
Well, anyway, put the future of Manx Gas on the island into question, I would imagine, which is what Manx Gas have said.
It's going to be a fascinating show. Sunday, 12 noon, John Moss and the candidates, currently Dr. Allinson and Mr. Cannon for Chief Minister. John, spend the rest of the week putting those questions together. Thanks for being with us today. It's 18 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. John was talking about that gas price. Gas prices could soon go up by more than a quarter, just in time for winter. Tynwald's been asked to approve a 2.1p per unit increase to Manx Gas's prices. That's a 27.5% rise. Ivan Kiley is the chief exec of the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority. Snappy, eh? And it says the price rise is warranted. Is it warranted?
Tynwald can take whatever decision assists believes is the correct one. We're putting the regulations forward for approval. We'd be hoping to brief all of the members fully on what the various different implications of different options are.
But just to say again, Tynwald can say, their members can say, well, this is too much, go away and think about this again.
Yeah, I obviously can't speak on behalf of Tynwald and what they would or wouldn't do.
But at the beginning of a new administration, obviously, they'll be loath to be labelled as the administration that brought in this massive increase.
Yeah, again, look, I'm unfortunately going to have to say I'm not getting into politics on this. Our position is that we're the independent regulator and I can't really be commenting on political issues or, you know, public policy matters. That's something for Tynwald to debate and decide on, not for the authority to dictate.
Okay, as the regulator, what is your job now? To take it to Tynwald to talk to the members about it?
It is essentially that, yes. Our the authority here and our board, we've already discussed the issue. It was a request received from Manx Gas on the basis of the rising commodity costs we talked about to increase the tariffs, and having reviewed all of the data and the information from the markets, we've come to the conclusion that it is warranted at this time. Unfortunately, an increase is never welcomed. It's always unfortunate at this time of year as well, but we also have to look at the wider concerns that are there as well, that there's, you know, issues that could arise involving security of supply, and if there's any other knock-on impacts of them not being allowed to increase their prices now.
Well, this is a fine kettle of fish, isn't it? That's the situation. 27%, 27.5% rise in the cost. Tynwald is being asked to approve a 2.1p per unit increase to Manx Gas's prices. Any thoughts on that? And certainly that something's going to happen one way or the other, and somebody's got to feel the pain. There's a seal pup on Peel Beach by Spit Corner. Heather's dropped me a note just to say, just advise dog walkers, don't let dogs off the leash near the seal. There's a seal on Peel Beach near Spit Corner as well. Norman dropped a note in just to say there was an estate agent on earlier this morning talking about house price rises. He said vendors have to be advised if estate agents get offered more, and it's up to them which to accept. Obviously, if they accept the higher offer, there's extra commission for them. Is it usually 1.5% plus VAT? And that's gone down over the years. The Manx government isn't too bothered as they get the fees for searches and planning and roads and rights of way and registry search fees, recorded fees and what have you, and VAT, and VAT on the advocates' fees as well. Government, I think, could help first-time Manx buyers by possibly reducing the fees, says Norman. Here's a note in from Mel, who's just said to Andy, I wrote to Manx Prom yesterday, just asked for, they said the fact that the prom was going to be finished by the end of September. They said no, October. October, when in October though? End of October? To allow for defects. The ongoing works are dependent on the weather, hence some of the delay. Manx Prom say that apparently no tourists have been put off, as hotels along the prom, once the borders changed to allow 2+2 COVID vaccination pathway, the hotels along the prom have been full. And the coach companies are more than happy as well. But October, we're saying now, for the Douglas Promenade to be finished. No TT scoreboard is a legacy of Mr. Quayle's chief ministership. Well, Steve, thank you, Steve. It's not the only legacy, is it? I think by common consent, Mr. Quayle has done very well over the COVID. He had no idea what was happening, what could have happened, but he's made a decent fist of it, let's face it. More messages as in, why are we not insisting on a negative flow test to be produced at the ports before people being allowed to travel on the Isle of Man? The less COVID coming here can only reduce cases. It would save another incident like the one last week when there were a coachload of passengers had to isolate in their hotel after being infected by the driver, says Alec. Well, anecdotally, we've heard of this, of a hotel on Douglas Promenade having to isolate because everybody had COVID inside. Obviously, we've approached various people and nobody wants to go on the record, so I'm not going to mention anything more about that, apart from the fact it was a Manx rumour. Here's a message in that says it's going to be an electronic vote for the Chief Minister next week, so there will be an electronic vote. House prices going up £1,000 a week? Load of rubbish. Myself and friends own our own homes, and I can tell you they're not going up £1,000 a month or a week, says Dave. Well, have you put it on the market? Have you found out yet? And a note in that just says, Andy, Peter Caron wasn't elected. Well, there was such a rumour, a really hot rumour going around in the last general election that Peter Caron was going to stand for election in Onchan, but I think he persuaded Peter Willers to stand in Onchan, and obviously I think Mr. Caron did some of the canvassing for Mr. Willers. Here's a message in. Here's Howard with us now on Man in Line today. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. No, just listen there about somebody saying about the promenade being finished. I know they did say possibly October, but it crossed my mind the other day, and it was announced on Manx Radio that all around the hospital area, they're going to be painting double yellow lines to prevent parking. Well and good. That is a sensible idea from some of the parking that I've seen, the rare occasions I've been up there. But they're quite capable of marking yellow, double yellow lines all around that area. But for the last 2 years, the weather's not been suitable to do the road markings anywhere else on the island. You look at the number of places where they're approaching junctions or double white lines or various areas. They haven't been able to paint them because the road hasn't been suitable, the weather hasn't been suitable. They've always had an excuse not to do it. But suddenly now that there's a possible cash bonus in this where they can find people, they suddenly found a well, a pocket of open weather, good weather, where they can go and slap a bit of yellow paint around.
I wonder who's going to be enforcing that.
They do have people up there. I have seen them on the rare occasions I go up that neck of the woods. I've seen people walking around. And I don't know about enforcing, but they will ask you politely to shift. Which, in a hospital area, if you're parked around an entrance and people can't walk too far, I can stand to be corrected on this, but you can drop off and pick up people within a double yellow line area. And that will make life a whole lot easier if you get near the entrance area where you're going to drop elderly people. I was up there the other day, dropped my wife off, and I sat there for a couple of minutes, and I saw a number of people getting out of cars on these walking frames and various things. Now, that is a sensible idea. I've been up around the back too, where the diabetes clinic is, and it's a bit chaotic around there. So it's a sensible idea, but what is my thought is, how come they can suddenly get a window of good weather here in October, where for the last 2 years they haven't been able to put a bit of white paint down on all the normal roads? You go down to towards the ferry bridge, and where they put the shell grip down, it's still black underneath. Now, that must be 18 months it hasn't been painted. And, of course, the speed bumps, which should have a white triangle on them to indicate that they're there, the majority of these are wiped out. So as soon as you're driving up the road and you hit that, even at 20 mile an hour, it certainly does a continuous bit of damage to your vehicle. So who's the bright spark that suddenly found this window of fine weather, suitable weather? Because they've been painting the promenade all this time.
I wonder, and I just wonder how, I mean, the threat is that if somebody does park, albeit illegally there, that, you know, if somebody doesn't move or isn't there or just leaves their vehicle there, they will get nicked. They'll get a fine for it.
Well, there's nothing more certain. Yeah, and I think it's £60 these days.
Yeah.
That's your starting point.
£60?
Yeah, because our granddaughter, she parked, she was about 10 minutes over time in Chester Street a couple of weeks ago, and she got a ticket, and it's £60. And if you don't pay it within a given period, it goes up to 120.
And let me just say, if you give 10 of those out a day over, let's just say, 5 days a week, 10 times, that's a £150,000 business.
Oh, it's not. It's a, that's what I'm saying. A little bit of yellow paint is a good money earner. And this is where they're putting the yellow paint down now. And they put it down in various other places where they can catch it out. But they can't be bothered to paint what you term a safety with the double white lines, various other white lines, on the normal roads, which they've been ignoring for at least 2 years.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Good to
Bye
talk
now.
To you. Thank you for calling today. A quick mention to Texter 099. Thank you, Texter 099. Just to tell you, your texts are coming through as digital gobbledygook. There's something either wrong with your phone or what you're sending. Texter 099, because they're just coming through as digital, as numbers rather than letters. Here's Barry with us now. Hello, Barry.
Hi, Andy. I hope I don't come through like digital gobbledygook right now, because I've got quite a lot I want to speak to you about. I give myself a little introduction. I have been fighting a campaign for a few years, well, probably 6 years, to try to probably overall lower the cost of the price of gas, which obviously at the minute isn't looking too positive. But I just want to speak to you briefly about the current situation and what I think can be done and maybe what should be done.
Okay.
And there's a lot, really, so I need to probably just scan through a few little bits. So we know that our elected leaders are going to discuss and vote a possible price hike for gas at this month's Tymaud sitting. And we also know that they have an option to vote in favour of a price increase, or they have the option to not do so. So the first thing I would say is that, from my experience in all of this, there's always a lot of speculation and there's always a lot of guesswork. And I think I've said to you on a few occasions before that the time for guesswork is now finished. We can guess no longer. And I probably also said to you before that it's never really my job to be going out there to try and source the facts and the figures and the numbers and to be given advice. So I don't mind giving the advice, but it's very difficult for me sometimes to be given advice when clearly my advice a lot of the time is actually ignored. So the first thing I would say to whichever civil servants in government are responsible for deciding future of the gas company is to actually go to Manx Gas as soon as possible and actually find out about their current financial situation. So in my mind, Manx Gas have had a very good run since 2015 and probably likely before that, although I've never really looked at the figures and the numbers before then. But certainly since 2015, they've had a very, very good run on the Isle of Man. Probably up until around about the beginning of this year, and then obviously things went slightly wrong. So the politicians that are going to have to make a decision are going to have to know in their mind, certainly I would want to know if I was sat making a vote, what is the current situation, financial situation of Manx Gas? Can we afford to take a risk that if we don't do something, if they don't do something, that Manx Gas is going to fold, or is the danger of Manx Gas folding and moving on kind of not a real danger? Because at the end of the day, to ask to vote on a 27-28% increase for gas customers at the beginning of winter when we already know there's fuel poverty is a real ask. And then, of course, if that is the case, whether or not they decide to vote for that increase, we already know that we have fuel poverty here on the Isle of Man, and we already know that we can assume very clearly that if there is a 27-28% increase, that there's going to be even a more fuel poverty here on the Isle of Man. And then the government clearly are going to have to start looking at how they can help people who genuinely are not going to be able to afford this increase.
So what do you think what do you think the government should be doing then now, given the fact that Manx Gas have come out and said very plainly that at the moment they're buying gas for more than they can sell it?
There's probably a lot. Just three main things, and then there's probably subsidiary little things that they should be doing at the side of that. So the first thing is to go and speak to Manx Gas. They need to speak to Manx Gas. Manx Gas have invited me in this week for a meeting. I am going to go as some kind of a voice for consumers. I have absolutely no powers. I have maybe a little bit of influence possibly, or I can give my opinion on a lot of stuff. But, you know, I appreciate Manx Gas have reached out to you and reached out to me, and they've asked me to come in. But the first thing that I believe that needs to be done is that the government needs to come up with a final solution immediately about how they are going to refund this £100 approximately that was promised for 2020-2021. There's £100 for pretty much all domestic customers, as far as I'm aware, and possibly some business customers, although I'm not too sure about that, that needs to be paid out immediately. There was question marks raised about how that money should be paid back, who should pay that back. That's basically coming back to the 40-year network loan with a fixed interest cost of 6% over 40 years. So Treasury had agreed that they would reduce that amount of money, that interest rate, and that reduction in interest rate, that money that's left over should be paid back to domestic customers. We need to get that £100 back immediately, because that will go a long way towards helping people out. The second one is that we all know, because it's public knowledge, on the 7th of April 2021, the Chief Minister wrote to all the Timor members at that time, previous administration, and it was very clearly laid out in a form of a kind of almost like a box graph, if you like, about what the government's gas bills were for 2020. And we know that in 2020 at Nobles Hospital alone, just short of 18 million units of gas were burnt up there for an average of 2.55 pence per kilowatt hour unit, when the rest of us were paying approximately 7.3, 7.4, I think it was, at that particular moment in time. And we also know that another 25% on top of that is also burnt amongst a whole load of other government buildings at a rate far lower than what domestic customers are paying. So I would put it to anyone who may be interested that there comes a point in time that it's unfair that only gas customers are subsidising, cross-subsidising the gas bills at Nobles Hospital in particular, and possibly other buildings as well. Because at the end of the day, we as adults, we as taxpayers, everybody gets to benefit from the services of the government one way or the other. So why is it only gas customers that are paying towards this cross-subsidisation? So I would say immediately, people in government at a higher level need to go to the Manx Gas and say, we are going to pay more for our gas. And then that difference, that cost difference, because clearly if they have to pay more, that money has to come from somewhere, needs to be spread equally back through direct taxation. There's no other way it can be, because it's not fair that only we as gas customers pay it. And then the other third thing that I would say needs to be done immediately is that when we talked about that refund for 2020-2021 by dropping the interest rate, that should be extended for a further 2 years, which will then also put more money into the coffers to allow that money then to come back to consumers, if you like, to actually lower the gas bills for the future as well. Yeah. And not to lower them, but to certainly keep them at the rate as they are right now.
Okay, do you know how much the government pays for the power station? I mean, that's an 87 megawatt gas turbine there. I wonder how much they pay per unit there.
All them figures... And the next time I phone up, which I don't know when that'll be, but the next time I phone up, I'll make sure I have all those numbers. But all them numbers and figures are all in the NERA report, towards the end of the NERA report that was written up and published around about 2018. Right. All of them numbers are in there. But what I will say to you, Andy, is this. It's very, very easy for all of us possibly to be continuously down on Manx Gas. Believe you me, I've had moments where I've been very down on Manx Gas. But the truth is they are paying millions and millions of pounds for the supply of gas on this island before they even start to make a profit. And most of that money is going back to the Isle of Man government. The Isle of Man government cannot wash its hands of this and say, oh, there we go, we're just going to offload all of this cost back onto the domestic customers. Them days are over. The Isle of Man government have to start looking at the amount of money that they're charging, first of all, for the provision of gas, for the supply of gas, and then look at the amount of money that they're paying for their own gas supply, because the game is now up. You know, it's unfair. It's been going on for too long, and it has to change. It cannot continue the way it is right now.
Okay. All right, Barry, yes. We always appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
21 minutes to one on Manx Radio. And it was mentioned yesterday, Port St. Mary post office is closing. Does anybody know? When is it? Is it the end of this month, Port St. Mary post office? The post officer, I think the postmaster there is retiring, and it's not going to be... So what's going to happen in Port St. Mary? Will there be a parcel collection or delivery as well? And a question, where's the cash machine in Port St. Mary? That texter also asked.
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
Metals, metals, AMB Metals. For Steel Appeal, the number you need is For Steel. That's metals, metals, AMB Metals.
For structural steel and cladding, collection or delivery, with installation available too, just call For Steel. That's 457881.
Metals, metals, AMB Metals.
Can Do is more than just an attitude. Can Do is extraordinary support in extraordinary times. It's the knowledge and expertise to harness opportunities. Can Do is empowering you to get your plans back on track. Can Do is Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Visit candowealth.com to see how we can help you build your wealth with confidence. Canaccord Genuity Wealth International Limited is licensed for investment business by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Tonight at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
At the weekend, I popped along to Lee Kerr and Andreas to take a walk around with the Manx Grassland Society.
And I joined the Isle of Man Woodland Trust on their tree planting expedition, Fighting the Weather, at the Len over the weekend. I spoke to some new and experienced tree planters on the day.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. Download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thanks for tuning in today. Man in Line's with you Monday to Friday between noon and one. And tomorrow, special, the Department of Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford, will be with us live. I think that that kind of rules out the fact he's going for Chief Minister, because he's going to be with us tomorrow. And anything you want to ask Mr. Ashford, by all means, get in touch. Either call tomorrow. It's always a bit of a lottery because so many people call. But if you want to get a question in beforehand, by all means, call the answer phone on 682-631 or to email maninline@manxradio.com. So Stephen says, Manx Gas buy the gas from the MUA? That's the story, obviously, because the government owns the pipeline. That's what gets the gas, and then Manx Gas have to buy from them. And that's the story from Barry Murphy, who's been a long-time campaigner. He's been on the Man in Line many times before, and, of course, now a commissioner. Yeah, that's the story. Barry said that Nobles gets its gas at 2.55p per unit. We don't know what they pay at the power station. That may obviously be a bulk deal, because obviously it will guarantee the vast majority of gas for the power station, which is principally what it was there for, but also for government buildings as well. But it's nice to have those figures out in the open. It's not Manx Gas's fault, says Ron. The price of oil is going up as well. It's over $80 a barrel now, Brent crude, certainly. People need to grow up and stop obsessing about markets beyond local companies' control. The whole world is opening up again, so demand is absolutely huge. People honestly think we are the world over here and we can control everything. We have to bring gas and oil to these shores. It's expensive to do, says Ron. Move on. If the problem's delayed due to defects, it's never going to be finished, says John. Here's a message in that just says, if the problem's going to be finished October, is that this October or 2022? And you're being mischievous. From what I can gather from the news, says this correspondent, gas prices have to go up or Manx Gas will go out of business. No, it's a no-win situation. Nobody can really win. The situation is, though, if the gas price goes down, will the retail price go down? If people park sensibly and not stupidly, you wouldn't need yellow lines, says Dave. This is at the hospital. This is a new situation that's coming in. Thanks to everybody, by the way. He was telling me about the coach driver and the coach that had to isolate. Thank you. Everybody's giving me the same hotel, which I'm not going to mention on air because obviously I don't want to inflame the situation anymore. A gas price increase sounds very painful, but if the wholesale gas price goes down, will Manx Gas be as quick to reduce it again? Says John, the headline regarding house prices, whether true or not, doesn't do anybody any good. It's sensationalist. Okay, in the last 12 months, prices have gone up, but this doesn't necessarily mean they will over the next 12 months. Very good point. Your investment can go down in price as well as up in price. It's just that over a period of 10 years, certainly 20 years, house prices never, ever go down, do they? Double yellows around the hospital, waste of money. There's always somebody there to move you on. If they want to paint some yellow lines, try Governor's Hill Road. There are plenty of people parking illegally on blind bends too close to the junction, says Steve. Here's a message in that just says, what happened to the perennial debates the Manx government had with Manx Gas on that rebate due to the previous high charge, says Byron. Well, as Barry Murphy mentioned, that £100 rebate that was promised hasn't yet arrived. Why is there no stall to advertise the TT 2022 races at the Birmingham Bike Show? Well, we were told yesterday that there's definitely going to be TT 2022. We're trying to get somebody on from the organisation to talk about it on air. Just to see, but if you want to find it out, if you go to the TT website, all the numbers are there. So there is going to be TT 2022 and TT 2023. And as soon as they we can get somebody to actually mention it on air, that'd be great, just to tell us what's going to happen. They say everything's going to be, you know, world-beating, gang-busting and everything. So we'll try and get them on the air. No new scoreboards for the grandstand. But they are definitely going ahead. The correspondent's just asking if they are definitely going to go ahead. Oh, and correspondent 099, I'm getting gobbledygook from 099 as well. So we'll just get rid of all that, and let's see how the public are paying over the odds on gas to cover Manx Gas's wastage. What's the wastage at Manx Gas? Well, this story about house prices isn't really going to go away. Property prices on the Isle of Man, say an estate agent on the Isle of Man called Manx Move. Manx Move say house prices are going up £1,000 a week. £1,000 a week. The figures look at transactions year on year, including a two-bed terraced house in Farm Hill, which recently sold for £230,000. This is a two-bed terrace in Farm Hill, £230,000, £40,000 more than in 2020. This is Graham Wilson from Manx Move.
There's a shortage of property, first and foremost, so there's far more buyers out there than there is available properties. I mean, we normally hold about 300-ish properties. I think the last time I looked, we had probably 32 for sale or something. So every agent is vastly down on the stock numbers they're carrying. So obviously, if you haven't got it, you can't sell it. That results in sometimes numerous buyers chasing the same property, which sometimes results in properties going above asking price. Mortgages are still very much available locally, and not only available, but available at, you know, reasonable interest rates and low deposits. Investors are still out there, which again, the poor old first-time buyers have got to compete with.
Something that rears its head, I think we spoke about this earlier in the year, is gazumping, and this must still be taking place.
It does. Again, it's not something we as an agent encourage. But unfortunately, if we get an acceptable offer on a property and then a couple of days later we get an extra 5,000 or 10,000, whatever, then we're obviously duty bound to put that offer to the vendors, and essentially the vendors make the decision. We don't influence at all.
Can you see it continuing?
It can't continue at the rates that it's going at, in my opinion. I mean, we cannot sustain £1,000 a week property value increases in the long term, I don't think. Having said that, I don't think it'll crash. For it to crash, something would have to fundamentally and drastically happen to one of the factors I've mentioned before there that's fueling it, so which is unlikely.
And finally, of course, we have a new government now. Do you think this is the time for them to step in and provide more help for first-time buyers?
They certainly need help, Simon. It's really, really difficult as a first-time buyer at the moment, as I said, because they're competing with cash, no-chain buyers that don't require mortgages. Vendors in a seller's market have a choice, and they sometimes have a choice between three or four purchasers at the same price for the same property. So rightly or wrongly, most vendors will choose the least complicated purchaser, and that sometimes unfortunately excludes the first-time buyer. So something needs to happen to help them onto the ladder, in my view.
It's 11 minutes before one. That's Graham Wilson from Manx Move. Of course, there's one group of people who can't wait for house prices to increase. In fact, that's all they want. Those are the vendors. Always two sides to an argument, don't you think? I'm a line painter for the DOI. We work very hard day in, day out. If there's a problem with this, go to the management, not the workers. For the last 2 years, we worked very hard as for the prom. That's the contractors, same as the hospital as well. If the government vote against a price rise on gas, who's going to cover the cost of the global rise? If gas users get support, why don't oil and electricity users get the same parity? What about the coloured lights on the horrible new standard lights on the prom? Are they meant to make up for the pretty garland ones we lost, says Anne? Apparently, yes. Please don't bring festoon lights up again. We'll be here all day. The government's now with a chance to rein in Manx Gas. Let them charge an extra 12.5%, but definitely not 25% or more, says Ian.
Calling all window fitters. Spectrum Windows needs an experienced window installer. The position is based in Ramsey, but involves travel all over the island, and a driving licence is essential. If you think you're the person for the job and would like to work for a respected company with a great team and for a good hourly rate of pay, then call Spectrum Windows and speak to Linda on 817777 or Nick on 270411. Experienced window installers, don't delay. Contact Spectrum Windows now.
Snuggle up and ease into autumn with Paradise and Gale. We've a great selection of sumptuous sofas, stylish dining furniture, beautiful bedrooms, and much more. With unmissable prices, 0% finance, and immediate free delivery across the island. It can only be Paradise and Gale, Michael Street, Peel.
For service with a personal touch and to try before you buy, visit us today or find us on Facebook. Paradise and Gale. You'll love our furniture. You'll love our prices.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew at manxmemorials.co.uk.
Castle Carpets in Peel, the carpet and vinyl specialists. Every colour and every style to suit your needs. With up to 20% off Abingdon stain-free carpets. Call 842 480.
Coming up, we've got another winning weekend on Manx Radio, and this time we're teaming up with Tell Skips to give you the chance to win a £150 voucher to spend at Barbary Coast in Douglas. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Tell Skips here on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along at 8 minutes before one. A message in from Mark, who just said, why don't they tap into that gas field off the Isle of Man? It's sure to be cheaper than what the... I don't think you can just, you know, put a pipe in and turn it on. It doesn't work that way. I think there's billions of pounds to be invested in. But it's just a thought, if we've got all that gas sitting there, it may be cheaper than the stuff you get from elsewhere. I'm old enough to remember, says Teresa, when there was no central heating. Only one room in the house was heated. We wore jumpers to keep warm. I'm not saying we should go back to them, but people maybe need to be educated about how to reduce their gas usage. Everybody thinks everyone should be saving on the environment. Well, here's a chance for gas users to do their bit. Well, that's the Venn diagram then. Gas users, Green Party members, the people in the middle... should turn off their gas. Houses can often be overheated, and open plan livings adds to increased bills. So start thinking about how your gas usage can be reduced. After all, how much are they prepared to spend on luxuries like mobile phones? Is a mobile phone a luxury, though? That's what you need to ask. But it's worth thinking, Teresa. Most people's houses, says Teresa, are overheated. I estimate, says Phil, I'll be paying about £5 a week extra compared to last year, which is, it's a pint of lager. Not that I drink that rubbish. You should cut your cloth accordingly, says Phil, if the gas bills are going up as well. As we weren't made aware of this, only rumours which I just heard. Somebody's asking about the hotel. I'm not going to mention the hotel where there was supposedly this kind of quarantine because of COVID, but that's the, and everybody's telling me it's not a rumour, it's true as well. Manx gas standing charges are the only reason I'm in debt. I can't afford to even use the heating in winter. What's going to happen now? The regulations are currently under the consultation process, apparently. The details and proposed regulations can be found at the CURA website, C-U-R-A, used to be known as the Communications Commission. Now it's communications and utilities and regulatory and what have you. If you go to cura.im, it's all there as well. The old TT scoreboard is in Ballasalla, says John. Apparently Manx National Heritage. Have they got all of it, by the way? Have they got all of that old scoreboard? I had a note in yesterday after the show that just said, didn't they really miss a trick with that old scoreboard? What they should have done with it. A lady just said, my sister, who lives in North London, when Arsenal moved from Highbury to the Emirates, Arsenal sold off all the turf. They sold off all the fittings to Highbury Stadium, and people could buy their old seats. And she just said, wouldn't it have been a good idea if the government had raffled off or sold off bits of the old scoreboard so that TT fans the world over could have had a bit of the scoreboard, you know, in their garden or in their house or what have you. This lady that she knows has got the two seats that she and her father used to sit in at Highbury to watch Arsenal in her garden, and sits and cries every time she thinks of her father. Just a thought, they could have earned a fortune by selling bits of the old scoreboard around the world or just even raffling them off for charity. Well, it's a thought, but maybe they're going to do that and announce it. They could have used the money towards the new one. Maybe that would have been a more robust business case. David Ashford's on Man in Line tomorrow. If you want to talk to him, then queue up tomorrow on the phone line 66 13 68, or you can leave a message on 682 631. David Ashford, Minister for Health and Social Care, tomorrow. And the two candidates so far, Dr. Allinson and Mr. Cannon, will be on John Moss's special Chief Minister programme, 12 noon on Sunday. That's it. Thanks to Ben Hartley producing Man in Line today. Going to be back tomorrow at high noon. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. It's a lovely day, isn't it?